The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Our tale begins when a reliable and sober investigative reporter frowns as he looks across a small restaurant and thinks he sees a man who died and was buried 3 years ago. Fantasy? An apparition? Just a look-alike? Well, he intends to find out. We live in an era of exposure. Today, no important person is exempt from investigation by the press, because we have become cynical about those we should trust. Tom Brooks is a cynic with a sardonic sense of humor.
Mr. Councilman?
Yes?
Tom Brooks. I'm a reporter from the Forum. I'm preparing a series of articles.
You'll excuse me. I have no time.
Weren't you the funeral director for Tony Campo? I think I saw him alive last week. You did prepare him for burial?
Yes, I did. After he made his peace with God.
Or his doctor.
Our mystery drama, The Telltale Scar, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Each of us has at some time in his life experienced déjà vu, which literally means something already seen. It can happen anyplace. You might be on vacation in Paris. You walk into the Louvre, and you have the sensation of having been there before. There is no rational explanation. You just know that you have been there before. Eastern philosophy might explain that through reincarnation. You actually once had been in the Louvre. Tom Brooks, an investigative reporter, is a close friend of a young district attorney named Webb Morrison and is now in his office.
Who, Tom? Galvano? Yeah, he owns a fine spot, a nice little restaurant on the west side.
Yeah, that's the place.
Well, what about it? I've eaten there. The food is good and inexpensive.
Why?
Why what? That the food is good? Has to be to stay in business. And inexpensive, that's just smart. The place is always jammed.
Uh-huh.
Boy, you must be really hard up for a story, Tom. Or did you, just drop in to invite me to lunch?
I accept.
Well, have your secretary make a reservation for 1 o'clock.
You take a reservation when you can get it, chum.
Okay, but 1 o'clock is important.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because you're the DA, and I want you to see something for yourself.
Something to do with the fine spot, obviously.
That's right.
Well, you're all like you newspaper guys. Every one of you trying to sniff out some scandal of your very own. The whole world isn't corrupt, Tom.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. Look at your desk. Papers all over it, and every one about some kind of ripoff. That's why you got the job you've got. I got the same kind of job. Exposed phonies and hypocrites. Those who make promises to break them.
Mm-hmm. What's the soapbox speech got to do with a five-spot restaurant?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. I want you to see him for yourself.
See who?
Paul Galvano.
I've seen him 50 times.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I've been in his restaurant.
Well, that's not what I mean.
Well, what do you mean?
Paul Galvano doesn't exist. The guy who calls himself Paul Galvano has been dead for 3 years.
Tom, I don't know what you're driving at, but Paul Galvano exists.
Yeah, that's what you think.
But after you left this morning, I did some checking. He's a respectable restaurant owner.
Let me ask you a question. We've had a great shrimp cocktail, and we're going to have sliced filet mignon and a salad and coffee, all for $5.50.
Well, why not? Look at the turnover in here. There isn't a vacant table. There's a waiting line.
Yeah, in any other restaurant, the price would be 3 times as high. What explains the difference?
You tell me.
All right. I will. Muscle.
Galvano uses muscle to intimidate suppliers?
Yeah, that's my guess.
It's a guess, all right.
would need a powerful organization to intimidate a supplier. Galvano has no such connection.
Yeah, I agree with you. Galvano doesn't. But someone else does have the muscle.
And Galvano fronts for him?
No, no. No, there's only one guy, not two.
Oh, I see. Ooh. Hey, he just came in, by the way.
Yeah, I saw him in the mirror. Now, I want you to take a good look at him. Don't stare at him. Just give him a glance. What do you think?
A guy about 5'6", 150 or so. Black hair. And a full mustache. Ready smile for his patron. Nicely dressed.
Mm-hmm. Who's he with? You know him?
No. He's a tall drink of water with a thin face.
Mm-hmm. And hard, shifty eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right out of a spy movie.
Yeah, that's just what he is. But he's not out of a movie. He's from real life. I think his name is Mike Larkin. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. Vaguely. He's been up before, but not in a long time.
Yeah, he used to be an enforcer, Webb, but nobody ever pinned a murder on him. Now, take another quick look at Galvano and notice the scar that runs from his right cheekbone down below his ear.
Okay. Done. Now, what about it?
All right, I'm going to write a name on this slip of paper. Now, keep yourself under control when I show it to you. You ready?
Oh, for heaven's sake, take a look. Holy Toledo. You can't be right.
Mike Yeppel? There's two guys to my right at that table against the wall. The one in the business suit, dark hair. He smells of the law. He is the law, Paul. That's Webb Morrison. He's an assistant DA. I've seen him here before. And nothing. He likes the place. And the place fits his pocket. He's no one to worry about. And the other guy? Don't know him. Find out. Okay? I like my setup here. I don't want nothing to change it. Nothing will. It's airtight. No complaints. They're in line and they stay in line. You run the best restaurant in the Heights at half the price of other joints. You make money and they don't know how you do it.
Sure they do. We got the clout. Just keep the suppliers under control. They don't form the line, you know what to do.
And better once, Paul. Had to. The chicken wholesaler?
Yeah. You start a new business, bound to be a kind of two. But, check out Morrison, the guy with him. You know anybody in the DA's office? Leave it to me. You've got nothing to worry about. That's when you get hit, Mike. When you relax. You know these young punks, ambitious white knights. They look for trouble. I don't like the way that one guy gave me the eye.
I'll find out who he is.
All right. I'll hold up for a week or so. Now, how about the best steak you can buy?
$6 with all the trimmings. You can't beat that if you own the ranch.
Sure I can. We eat for free.
Tell him I'll call back. I just walked in. Yeah. And hold the call for half an hour, will you, Grace? Yeah, thank you.
Well?
I don't want to believe it, Tom.
Well, you don't have to, pal, but I'm convinced. Look, here's a picture of him before he got a hairpiece and grew the handlebar mustache. You notice that kind of bumpy line from his right cheek to below the right ear? A bad suturing job. It's a telltale scar, all right.
You convinced?
Now, look, I'll take a marking pencil and give him hair.
No. Don't waste the time. It's Campo. No question about it. And Campo was killed in a shootout with the police and was buried over 3 years ago. Why hasn't he been spotted before?
Well, who'd have his eye open for a deception like this except a brilliant reporter like me?
Mr. Super Cynic. Don't you trust anyone?
You and a few others.
Well, the rest...
Well, in one way or another, they're all on the take. When Tony Campo was on the take, he took big. Numbers, dope, track, gambling.
Big boss. And we had him sewed up. He'd have gone up for 25 years.
And then he'd get himself killed. Except he didn't.
Yeah, now he runs a dandy restaurant where the prices are pre-war.
Order a police detail to find out where he buys his food. Yeah, then try to make one of the suppliers talk.
The old intimidation racket.
Now, remember a squib in the papers about a chicken wholesaler named Horvath? He got himself knocked off.
Hey, you're going too fast, pal. You say Galvano is Tony Campo. I agree, but how can we prove it? Can't order the man's arrest. He can prove he's Galvano. So his identification has been fixed, but he's still the man he claims to be.
Yeah, you got a point. All right, so we have to investigate.
Yeah, you do. I can't use a public office to snoop into what's dead, buried, and forgotten. You bring me some solid evidence, and I'll take it from there. See, I can't go to the police with a handful of guesses.
I'll get the evidence.
You could also get a bullet in your back.
Yeah, well, that may well be, but I'm going after that tin horn gangster. A cop was killed in that shootout, you remember? And the food wholesalers are having a knuckle under to his thugs.
Now, calm down. Let's try to make some sense.
Okay, okay. Tony Campo is killed. A doctor has to certify the death, and some funeral director has to fake the burial.
Start with them. Check your newspaper's morgue and take it from there.
Well, that'll turn up the names, but maybe not the body.
I think it might. Campo would pay him off, but I don't think he'd have him murdered. An accidental death might work for one of the guys, but not for both. Campo was no fool.
You might be right. The trick is to come up with some line that'll make the doctor or the funeral director talk. That may be impossible, but I can try.
Keep in touch.
There is an alternative, Webb. Exhumation.
Now, don't talk crazy. You just can't go dig up a body.
There is no body.
And without real evidence that Campo didn't die and wasn't buried, I could never get a court order to exhume. You forget that angle, chum.
Well, look, what if we just...
Wait a minute. No. You're really in space. No way. I can see the two of us on a dark, stormy night poking around in a cemetery with picks and shovels. Not for me.
What's the matter? You afraid of the dark?
You go after the doctor and the funeral home guy and don't even think of exhumation.
How'd you find out, Mike?
Vinny knows him.
The bartender?
Yeah. His name's Tom Brooks. Him and Morrison are friends. The guy's a reporter.
Well,
nothing to worry about that. Reporters always hang around the DA's office looking for a story.
Uh-huh.
Look, Morrison comes in here pretty regular. He's seen you more than once, Paul, me too. And he's never given us a tumble.
I don't like it. Have you got a snooper in the DA's office or at that other guy's newspaper?
There's a law clerk. A woman works in Morrison's department. She likes money.
See that she gets what she wants.
Okay. And find out what Morrison is up to.
Yeah, that's it. I want to know if he's fishing around.
Well, even if he is, what could he prove? So you're a lookalike. There are lots of them.
I don't want him to start in. The publicity would be bad.
Morrison's too smart to act on a guess.
But the reporter isn't.
I can take care of him, Paul.
Later, maybe. Not now. I don't want to tip my hand. Find out if anything's going on. Then, maybe there's an accident. No rough stuff. Just an accident.
In a letter to George Washington in 1792, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "No government ought to be without censors. And where the press is free, no one ever will." A free press supplies information and comment. It's unique to us Americans, and the checks and balances guard us from despots in government and crime. They will always be with us. A former mob leader, Tony Campo, alias Paul Galvano, is a case in point. More about this man who returned from the dead when I return shortly with Act Two. Like a professional policeman, an observant investigative reporter tries to see through and beyond surface facts because the truth lurks behind the appearance of things. It is the scar on the face of restaurant owner Paul Galvano that jogged the reporter's memory, and now he is certain that Galvano is the dead Tony Campo.
I'm coming.
Councilman?
Yes.
Tom Brooks from the forum. May I have a few words with you?
A reporter?
Yes, sir.
Well, what brings you to me? Come this way.
My editor has an idea for a series of true stories about elaborate funerals of famous and notorious persons.
Is that so? I'm writing a book that will deal with the same idea. With a difference, of course. I'm more interested in how the average person approaches death.
You've been retired for, is it 3 years?
Yes, that's right. I sold my funeral parlor and retired.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must have had a large practice to this fine house.
Well, I made a substantial profit, yes.
And you did attend to at least one notorious corpse whose funeral services and burial were spectacular. Tony Campo.
Campo?
Oh, the gangster that was killed during a police raid. He was buried from your funeral parlor.
Oh, Campo, yes. Yes, I remember now.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to forget, really. He was the biggest funeral of the year. Can you give me your impression of him?
Impression? What is it you'd like to know?
Oh, how you got the job and the persons you had to deal with, the rough idea of how much you spent, that kind of thing.
Cost figures are confidential, you understand.
Well, I can dig them out if I have to.
Why would you want to?
To make the point that even if the funeral cost $100,000, it couldn't buy Campo's way into heaven.
Oh? How do you know that, Mr. Brooks?
Well, I don't think St. Peter sells space to an unrepentant sinner.
Judge not that ye be not judged.
Matthew 7, and well said. But he didn't know Tony Campo.
All men are entitled to repentance.
Did Campo repent?
I'm sure he made his peace with God.
Through his doctor?
Pardon me?
Well, Silvio certified Campo's death, you know that.
I do?
Well, certainly. I mean, you had to have a copy before you tucked Campo into his plush casket. So you can't fill me in on why you were selected to handle the funeral or who made the arrangements and costs and so on?
Well, I have no recollection about such details. And death is a very personal matter, Mr. Brooks.
And you think that Campo made his peace with God?
That is what I assume. You apparently think otherwise.
Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid I do. There was a shootout. Campo was hit, but his body wasn't found. Then Dr. Silvio certifies his death, and you bury Campo.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, what if there was no body?
How dare you say that?
Because I'm pretty sure that Tony Campo is still alive. Sit down, Sherlock.
I'm glad to.
I tracked down Frank Councilman, but took some doing.
Mm-hmm. And?
Nothing. He is an oily one. Lives in a house that must have cost $200,000. It's obvious he got paid off. And I tipped my hand. I said I thought Campo might still be alive.
Well, you're just pleading for a bullet, aren't you?
I'm trying to stir up some action, Webb. I mean, I've made a move. Now it's up to them. If they're smart, they'll ignore me, but I don't think they're that smart. Now, what about Dr. Silvio?
Retired.
Mm-hmm. That figures.
He sold his practice and moved to Florida.
Where?
Pompano Beach.
Was he in practice there?
I don't know. I thought of checking with the AMA, but it didn't want to answer any questions. See, if Silvio faked the death certificate, you can be sure he'd be wary of a police investigation.
Well, how'd you find out where he lived?
Oh, I had one of the older women in my office try to make an appointment with Silvio. Said she'd been a patient of his years ago.
Well, there can't be too many Adam Silvios in Pompano Beach. And the police?
Look, Tom, stay away from the police.
Why?
I told you before, this office just can't be mixed up in an investigation based on a surmise.
Look, don't you want to bring this killer to justice?
Of course, but the DA's office can't just point a finger and say, arrest that man. He's Tony Campo. We have to be able to prove it. I've checked on Paul Galvano every which way. He really is Galvano. You say he's Campo, come back from the dead. I'm inclined to believe you, but I can't prove it. Neither can you. And let me tell you something else.
No, tell away.
Councilman and Silvio are still alive. Now, doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah, I've thought about that. Campo feels pretty secure.
That's right. Why hasn't Campo had them knocked off? Because he's sure of those two guys. Even if one of them squealed, it wouldn't bother Campo. His identification as Galvano is too good. Tracking down Silvio won't help you, Tom.
Well, my visit will get back to Campo.
It's your funeral. Tom, why don't you just lay off? Well, you still have the chance.
See, now you sound like a politician, not a public official.
What if we expose Campo? Some other hoodlum will come along and replace him?
No doubt. Then we go after him. Fighting crime is a losing battle. Not to fight it is no alternative. You know that. It's your job to know that.
I know my job, and I do it when my office has something tangible to fight.
An empty casket's going to nail Tony Campo.
Isn't that a wonderful view, Mr. Brooks?
Oh, it's just great, Doctor. And the beach is private?
Just for the use of the owners of Ocean View Condominiums.
Well, it must have cost a mint to build these 12 stories right on the waterfront.
Millions, of course, but long-term mortgages are not hard to arrange.
Did you build Ocean View?
Oh, dear, no. The builder went bankrupt. I and some others took it over.
That's a big investment.
Substantial. But we're in the black now. 90% of the apartments have been sold. I'll show you the few we have left.
Anything wrong with them?
Oh, gracious, no. Even the one on the first floor over the driveway and entranceway is charming.
Do you mind a personal question, Dr. Silvio?
Of course not. You're a prospective buyer, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'd like to own a place down here. Oh, I'm a prospect. Even if it would be just for investment.
It would be a very good investment.
Just looking at this splendor, Doctor, this private beach and pool and the games, I just have to wonder how a retired doctor could afford to be one of its owners.
I had a lucrative practice, Mr. Brooks, and I invested wisely.
I wanted to talk to you about Tony Campo.
I don't know any Tony Campo.
Let me recharge your memory, Dr. Silvio. You attended Campo after his shootout with the cops, and you certified his death. Does that jog your memory?
Oh, well, good heavens, I'd forgotten about him.
How could you?
Well, with my extensive practice...
You can't remember every one of your patients. I can believe that. But Campo...
Why do you say that in disbelief?
Because the family must have paid you a very substantial fee for what you did.
I did nothing. The man was dead. I merely certified death in the cause.
Was he dead, Doctor?
I don't like that implication, Mr. Brooks.
Neither do I, but there it is.
How dare you impute...
Because, now get this, Doctor, because I think I saw Campo alive and well last week.
That's a libelous accusation. I pronounced him dead, and this man named Councilman buried him.
Well, then Campo's bones would be in his casket in the family burying ground.
Well, that's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Well, not to me, Doctor. I think you certified a fictional death. You and Councilman got paid to do it under threat. Go ahead and sue me, Doctor. Then I'll insist that you produce whatever remains of the late Tony Campo.
Yeah?
Paul, Dr. Silvio called me. That reporter's got a long nose. First he visits the funeral director and then the doctor.
No problem. What? I told you no rough stuff until I gave the order.
A dead guy can't be a witness. Councilman fell off a retaining wall, was run over by a car.
And when Silvio reads about it, he'll panic and go to the police. Now, you listen to me. Make sure he doesn't. But don't touch him.
But, boss...
No. No. Don't act until I think. Be here in the morning. I'll figure out what to do with Silvio.
I must be out of my mind, Tom, letting you talk me into this. Busting into a mausoleum? They took care of Councilman. We've got one witness left, Webb.
I hope he's being protected.
Now, the police in Pompano Beach have staked out the doctor's house.
Come on, lock. Open up.
Where'd you get the pick lock?
Underworld connections. My pal showed me how. He even wanted to come along. Ah, did it.
Flash your light around. Let's get this over with.
I got lots of dead in here, Webb.
Let's find Tony's casket. You got it. Leave the flash on.
Help me slide it out on the floor.
Boy, wait a ton. Yeah. You got a screwdriver for me?
Sure. I brought several. Yeah, let's get to work.
This is sacrilegious, you know that? If we're wrong, Tom...
We can't be wrong. Now, let's lift the lid.
Yeah. Shine the light inside.
It's empty. What did I tell you, Webb?
No. It's not. Here, give me the flashlight.
What do you mean it's not?
What's that? You see?
Yeah.
Well, pick it up. See what it is.
A sealed gold box.
There's a card under it. What's it say?
Here repose the ashes.
We're sunk.
The ashes.
Campbell is smart. You said to yourself, he anticipated something like this. The casket is empty, all right, because he had himself cremated.
In sports and games, it's a wise player who expects his opponent to make his best move, not to make a mistake. If Paul Galvano truly is the dead Tony Campo, give him credit for playing his ghoulish hand to win. An empty casket would have proven deception. The ashes from cremation make it seemingly impossible to bring the imposter to justice. The case is closed. Or is it? We'll find out when I return shortly with Act Three. One of our common faults is a reluctance to take chances. A calculated risk is another matter. If the odds seem favorable, most of us will gamble. If we lose, we lose. Here we have a situation in which a calculated risk turned out to be a bad gamble. Both Ted Brooks and Webb Morrison are certain that Paul Galvano really is the late mobster, Tony Campbell. He was pronounced dead and he was buried. Not his body, his ashes. Ashes that cannot be identified. Galvano knows that, and it pleases him.
I didn't think they'd have the guts. All right, Mike. I'll have the family file suit against them for busting into the tomb.
Yeah, more publicity.
About Campo, not me.
But the newspapers will be all over the fine spot.
I won't be there.
What I don't get is why the reporter wrote the story. Look at that headline.
I've been looking at it.
Why was Tony Campo cremated? He asked a lot of questions, Paul. The church and cremation, and why they buried ashes instead of a body.
It sells papers.
It don't make sense. They don't find a body, they find ashes. Why put out a story that's going to get both of them canned? They must know something else.
There is something else. You took care of councilman.
What about Dr. Silvio?
Him you lay off of.
I could pay him a visit.
All right. Throw a scare in him, but don't touch him.
I still don't get it. Why the story when there ain't a story?
I don't know. Has the reporter put the squeeze on any of the guys who work for councilman?
Could be. Besides councilman, one or two of them knew what was going on. Yeah, but they got paid off.
All right, have one of the boys remind them. They keep their mouths closed till they get it.
Okay.
What's the matter? You look worried. What are you worried about?
Brooks and Morrison must have an angle. The reporter never would have broken that story.
Hey, what about the ashes? What if they analyzed the ashes? Were they human ashes?
I hope so. Yeah, that's an angle. I don't know, Mike. They have to be human, or it's a real dumb slip-up.
What do we do about it?
Have the family get them back. Start a suit. There's got to be a law, huh? You don't bust into a tomb and steal a guy's ashes? That's illegal. It's a sin. Look, I'll get to the family. You get to Silvio. And it could be they'll haul me into court.
Let's hope not.
That wouldn't bother me. I'm Galvano. I can prove it.
You might be interested to learn that I've been suspended, Tom.
Don't worry. I'll get you real estate.
Sure you will. What about you? Have you been fired yet?
No, not quite. If the newspaper fired me, it would be an admission that the story was a fraud. Well, I can't retract the story until it's proven to be false. What I wrote raised a question, that's all.
But it doesn't excuse breaking into Campo's family tomb because you had this great hunch.
It's no hunch. Galvano is Campo.
Sure he is, because you say so. Like a fool, I took a chance that the casket would be empty. Now both of us are going to face a lawsuit. And with Councilman dead...
Yeah, I know. A neat accident.
He fell off his garden retaining wall late yesterday afternoon. He was your key witness. Only he knows what happened in his funeral parlor.
I got another angle, but I need your help.
Then count me out.
Oh, come on. What do you got to lose?
What's your new wrinkle?
Campo didn't grab the name Galvano out of thin air. Find out if there really was a Paul Galvano. If we're lucky, he had a record. The police would know.
And then what?
Then the luck will begin to run in our direction. Check it out. I'll telephone you from Florida late this afternoon.
Mike! Mike, please don't kill me.
1 inch closer, Doctor.
What's the point of this, Mike?
You saw the story. Your name was in it, Doctor.
I didn't tell him anything.
Do you know that Frank Councilman is dead?
Oh, well. I'm very sorry to hear that.
You should be glad. That's why you're still alive. Councilman was the key witness. He buried the ashes, not the body.
Oh, I see. Then if you killed me, that would confirm the reporter's suspicions.
But the boss thought it might be a good idea to remind you that you're living on borrowed time, Doctor.
Mike, no one can force me to talk.
That's what we wanted to hear. All you did was to certify Campo's death.
Well, that's what I said. And if I'm questioned again, I'll repeat it.
Plus, you'll support cremation.
How?
Tony Campo's dying words. He's dying, and you're with him, and he says cremation.
Why not let the story just die?
Because there was a couple of loose ends. You read the story. What about the IRS?
Internal revenue?
The councilman's $200,000 house, you, a big real estate operator who owns most of Ocean View Condominium.
You think that...
If you were the IRS, wouldn't you poke around? For instance, where did you get all the money to afford such a big investment? They check your tax returns. You didn't report the kind of dough you invested in Ocean View.
Oh, I understand. I wouldn't know how to explain.
I'm going to tell you how. Now listen and get this straight. You sold your practice and moved down here. The Campo family is grateful to you. They stake you to enough money so you can go into real estate. They own Ocean View.
But
get the butt. I got a legal piece of paper here signed by the head of the Campo family. It says they're so grateful to you for past services that they're underwriting your move to Florida and your investment in Ocean View.
And the family owns it?
That's right.
So the IRS investigates the family?
No problem.
And I'm out of the spotlight.
That's it. When the heat's off, just go about your business.
Later, the family tears up this piece of paper.
Who worked out this plan?
Welch, the boss and his lawyer.
Thank you, Mike. And, please thank Mr. Galvano.
Webb?
Yeah, Tom. There was a Paul Galvano, a minor hoodlum. I'm getting the dope on him. Have you seen Dr. Silvio?
No, I was waiting for news from you. Now I'll have to bluff it.
If the Galvano angle fizzled out, you'd better head for South America. And, more bad news.
What's happened?
They were human ashes. The laboratory analysis turned up that information.
Well. Campbell covered himself at every turn.
Yeah. And I've been served with papers for breaking into the tomb. You're a co-defendant.
Keep working on the Galvano angle. I'll report back after I've seen Dr. Silvio.
Will you come visit me in jail?
Don't be crazy. When I'm finished, you'll be a household word.
Yeah. But which one?
Well, Mr. Brooks, come in.
Thank you, Doctor.
What can I do for you this time? Sit down.
I've decided against buying that condo over the entryway.
For a man in trouble, you have a droll sense of humor, Mr. Brooks. I know all about you. The story was carried in our local newspaper. Quite a sensational story.
And true.
If you say so.
I do give credit to Campo, or whoever does his thinking. His cover-up was just about perfect.
Campo is dead. I certified his death. He was cremated, and the ashes were buried in his casket and placed in the family tomb. Those are the facts, Mr. Book.
Yes, as they appear to you. But they are not the truth. Campo was shot up and brought to you for treatment. You saved his life. In the shootout, a cop was killed. That meant life or worse for Campo, so he came up with an ingenious scheme.
To arrange a funeral and a cremation by substituting someone for himself. Ingenious indeed. I might even say fantastic.
I agree. The family paid off Councilman and you. He's dead, but you're still alive. And rich.
That's where you're mistaken. I'm not rich. I only represent the money.
That's pretty clever, Doctor.
It's not clever. It's just another fact. Now, may I ask why you've come to see me a second time?
I'd like to offer you a chance to tell the truth.
I don't even know why I'm talking to you. Without proof, you make certain assumptions and act on them. They hurt innocent persons, councilmen, me. Now you plead for my cooperation because you, not I, face prosecution.
Councilman is out of it. He's dead.
An unfortunate accident.
He was murdered.
Another wild assertion. You'd better leave, Mr. Brooks.
You do know about fingerprints, Doctor. Campo took the name of Paul Galvano. Why?
No comment.
Galvano was a minor hoodlum.
So?
Galvano has a record. Now, part of it would be a set of his fingerprints.
Suppose so.
And they'd match the fingerprints of the man who now goes by the name of Paul Galvano?
Of course.
Well, what if they don't match, Doctor?
Do you know that they don't? I see. You're quite a bluffer, Mr. Brooks.
You won't reconsider. You won't tell the truth.
Goodbye, Mr. Brooks. You've played your last card.
Well, you'd better take a good look at it, Doctor. Because I think it's the ace of spades.
Hey, John, you pulled it off. The fingerprints prove it. The Lauderdale police should have Dr. Silvio in custody by now. We finally got a break, Tom.
Our Campbell covered every angle except the one he couldn't cover, Galvano's fingerprints.
I really thought we were sunk.
Yeah, so did I, Webb. I wonder why he chose the name Paul Galvano.
Galvano and Campbell looked alike, except for the scar. And Galvano was a member of the Campo gang.
Any record of his death? The real Paul Galvano?
No.
You know what I think? It's pretty macabre, but those ashes in Campo's casket.
Frank Councilman really did cremate a body?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if Galvano was killed in that shootout.
Yeah. Campo lives and Galvano's dead and is cremated.
Oof.
That is kind of gruesome. Well, the search is on for Campo. The police will bring him in today.
Yeah, let's hope, but I wouldn't be too sure.
Well, why not?
Well, didn't you know you've got an informer on your staff?
The reporter broke the case, Paul. The secretary in Morrison's office, she told me about the fingerprints that don't match.
Uh-huh. All right, Mike. You take over the fly spot. Sell it as soon as you can. Meet me in Mexico City.
Yeah, but the cops are on the prowl. How you get out?
Private plane. Belongs to a pal.
Yeah. You think of everything, Paul.
Make that, Tony, will you? I've had the disguise for 3 years. That's enough. If they ever catch me, they'll catch Tony Campo.
Yes? Oh, I see. Oh, I'm sorry, too. Who took them off? Oh, it's hard to believe, Captain. Yes, I will. Goodbye.
He slipped away?
Yeah. Mexico, private plane. Too late to intercept.
Well, Mexico's welcome to him. And we still have Dr. Silvio.
But you stuck your neck out.
So did I. We were right.
And to have Campo escape.
It's no problem. I'm not in my business for headlines, Webb. Neither are you. What drives us is anger against injustice. Look, someone has to protect the public. We exposed Campo.
Mm-hmm. You did, Tom.
Because of a free press.
Mm. And to that, all I can say is, amen.
In most good detective stories, it's the little details that more often than not trip up the criminal. There have been perfect crimes, I suppose, but we don't know about them because they were perfect. After the reporter picked up what to him was a telltale scar on the face of Paul Galvano, the chase was on and justice of a sort was done. At least Galvano had to leave the country. I'll have some closing remarks when I return. I will, if I may, remind you of the importance of a free press. Back in 1940, Wendell Willkie wrote that freedom of the press is the staff of life for any vital democracy. We take this unique distinction lightly, but this freedom, like democracy itself, must be defended at all times from those in public and private life who would subvert it. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Russell Horton, Ralph Bell, and Ray Owens. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, do they appear to have been read carefully? Anything cut out of them?
Not that I could see, sir.
I can't see what the man's reading habits have to do with anything.
Oh, a great deal. Potter, today is Wednesday. Tomorrow morning, I would like you to bring here to my assistant, Jean-Pierre, whatever newspapers you have gathered this week to be sold.
Oh, Vermont, what's all this mystery about the newspapers?
Mystery? Au contraire, Inspector. I would say the entire case is perfectly plain.
What's perfectly plain?
Your suspect, Summertrees, is not a counterfeiter. Nor is he in any way connected with counterfeiters.
What is he then?
Something far more interesting. And?
And?
And that is what I plan to find out.
Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.